You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 12 May, we've got U.S. inflation data for April, expected 3.7%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Jimmy Muyaha, strong boxer numbers, also pushed Pick n Pay higher because, well, Pick n Pay is worth less than its stake in Boxer. Stephen Brooks from Baldwin, good set of numbers from them. But they've, again, they've skipped the dividend and then redefined properties. Some good numbers from the first half. Poland really looking strong in their space. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Food price increases are coming, says the Boxer CEO. Impact of higher diesel and fuel prices will start to be felt, but not necessarily across the board. Business Day, Robex order book hits $31 billion as it targets infrastructure poor Africa. Orders up 11.6% on diversification and strong infrastructure performance. Morning markets, US markets were green, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ up 0.3%. The East is mixed, we got Sydney down 0.5%, Tokyo up 0.7%, Hong Kong up 0.3%, and then Tencent off a 0.1%. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 4,735. Brent is red, couple of cents, $105.10. Platinum is 2,110. Palladium 1,514. The rand is 16.46. Bitcoin 81,100. And top 40 opening call red open 410 points, or almost 0.4% down.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting over with Jimmy Muyaha. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. The Boxer numbers, and we're starting to get some clean numbers now, although HEPS are still a little bit messy in terms of number of shares, but a good set of numbers. Trading margin 5.7%, that's kind of ShopRite levels. Like-for-like sales up 4.5% in a deflationary environment. Your thoughts on Boxer numbers?
Yeah, morning, Simon. The numbers were quite impressive considering this is their first full set of numbers since being a listed entity. We know that they listed in November of 2024. We kind of got bits and pieces of numbers from a half year coming into last year, but this is the first full set of numbers as the listed entity. And the business really is doing well. I mean, if you look at the retailing space, particularly the grocery retailer space, we've spoken about this in the past to say that that market has very few players, but distinct identities in all of the players. I mean, if you compare Boxer's performance to Pick n Pay's, to Spar's, to the ShopRite groups, very distinct areas where each of these companies sit at the moment in terms of market share, in terms of profitability, in terms of operational efficiencies. And Boxer being the newest kid on the block, it's nice to see them being able to punch at their weight. I mean, particularly if you look at some of the other standout movements throughout the year for them, sitting with net debt just shy of the 200 million rand mark, even after paying down a little over 800 million rand of the debt that they carried into from listing. So very impressive set of numbers, growth metrics on the up from their perspective. You mentioned the trading margins, of course, but I think from a business perspective in the grocery retailer space, operational efficiencies, a strong balance sheet, those are the things that we've been looking for in these grocery retailers.
Yeah, absolutely. I take your point on that. And it really has come through. And of course, I buried the lead to a degree, a dividend of $1.60 and some fractions there as well. But then I ran the numbers and we've got a Boxer market cap, $38 billion. Pick n Pay market cap, $15 billion. Pick n Pay, of course, owns some, 65% of Boxer, which is then puts that at $25 billion. In other words, there's a minus $10 billion number on Pick n Pay. Is that the route into it, or is it still better just to go nice clean and buy Boxer if you like it?
Well, the question becomes, why would you want to back route into Pick n Pay when you can access both shares independently, right? So as an investor, you have to look at what your investment profile looks like, your long-term plans for your portfolio. And if that plan is that Pick n Pay will see its recovery, will get to where it has planned, then your investment case is for Pick n Pay, less so for Boxer. If your investment case is directly for Boxer, then you should be in Boxer directly. I don't think you should be cross investing between one entity and another when you've got the option of both available to you as an investor. Sometimes keeping it simple is entirely the best way to do it, regardless of which side of that simple you want to sit on. I suppose there might still be investors that might still be interested in Pick n Pay. I suppose there might be investors that are interested in Boxer. If you look at the unbundling of Transaction Capital and We Buy Cars, same thing there. Investors sitting on one side of the fence, very few investors would sit kind of one into the other. You just go straight for what you're looking for.
Yeah, I get your point. John Picard disagrees with both of us. He's like, no, buy the Pick n Pay because you're getting a minus 10 billion valuation on it. But I take your point. Keep it simple. We'll leave it there. Jimmy Muyaha, appreciate the early morning time. And that is our poll. Which would you look at? Would you look at Pick n Pay? Would you look at Boxer? Do you prefer the bits of both? Or do you prefer one over the other? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Stephen Brooks, CEO at Baldwin. We had results year-ending February. Revenue up 21%, HEPS up 4, recurring HEPS up 41. Steve, appreciate the time. The HEPS, recurring HEPS. My sense is this really is accounting treatment. You had some land sale transactions, some fair value adjustments, some write-offs, etc. Hence the difference between the two.
Yeah, thank you very much. You're spot on correct. That's spot on, 100%. Yes.
Let's move to dividend. And dividend skipped again. Not really a comment in the balance sheet. This perhaps more about just, you know, this was to end of February. And frankly, war in Iran, uncertainty, inflation, interest rates, hence no dividend. Is that thinking around the distribution?
You're 100%. You know, the two wars on the go at the moment in the world are tricky. Mm-hmm. Inflation's definitely going up. You know, could interest rates be going up? We pray not. But we've got to guard our cash. We've got to guard it. And also we've got a big, big plan for debt reduction in the long term, short term and long term.
How have sales? I mean, you know, we haven't seen inflation up, although we haven't got the data. We've seen fuel prices up. That has hit the pocket. What's sales been like post the period end?
Yeah, you know, in the Western Cape, we're shooting the lights out. That's a great story, the Western Cape is. In Natal and Gauteng, it's a bit more difficult. Natal's starting to improve because of tremendous work by Rodney Gray and Carl, my general manager with the council. So we're starting to get away from that whole era of corruption in the councils. So they're starting to work, starting to help us. Gauteng is still struggling. You know, we need our mayor to start really putting his shoulder into the wheel with infrastructure.
Yeah. You mentioned KZN, Mshlanga, Balito, Westtown. Those are the three top of mind for myself. You mentioned also in the results, I mean, municipal services dependency. I mean, you do rely on the municipalities a lot, whether it be up here in Johannesburg or down in KZN at Tukwane.
Yeah, we rely on them. We need to work with them. You know, it needs to be a team effort. And, you know, as I said, my Rodney Gray, our managing director, has made big headway in Natal where he's actually gone and seen them himself and they've reciprocated and said, let's get on with it, which is a fantastic attitude. I personally went to Gauteng, to Johannesburg, to the municipality, and they received me absolutely outstanding. I dealt with the JRA and I dealt with the building control. They were brilliant, and that's a big, big turnaround.
Yeah. You mentioned the Western Cape. Question to you. I mean, Western Cape is a little over half of the business, but your pipeline is, I mean, you've got some 14,000, Shwani, Johannesburg, KZN, almost 6,000. Western Cape, only 8,000. You run out of stock there. Are you looking for new development space in Western Cape?
Yeah, as they say, God doesn't build land. So we need to find land. We have got one big one that I've been on hunting for a long time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that comes to fruition, but we definitely need to look at more land in the Western Cape. You're spot on.
Sales for the period, apartments was up 17% to just over 2,000, but forward sales up 57% at 1,200 and change. You're getting momentum, and that's an important point.
Yeah, we like to keep our sales going, and sales is an important part of our business. We've got everybody highly focused on the business to it, and as long as we can keep delivering good quality apartments to our clients at an affordable price, I repeat, at affordable price, because we mustn't get too big-headed and start pushing the prices. We need to be very, very conservative.
And you're still in that sweet spot of pricing.
Correct. And
Yeah.
we will continue trying to be innovative and staying in that sweet spot.
Baldwin Annuity, and I remember when this was, it's sort of a glint in your eye just starting. It's now over 200 revenue. It's really good margin business. And of course, if you sell 2,000 apartments a year over a decade, that's 20,000. Your annuity grows 10x. I mean, it is that simple. It is a great little business you've got there.
A very wise young man, I won't say his name because he doesn't like it, gave me the hint a few years ago. He's been our partner for a long time, and it really sparked us off into annuity income. As long as we always remember that the client must benefit from it. So we work very hard to make sure that our clients benefit from our annuity income as well.
And this is, I mean, it's simple stuff. It's fiber to the home. It's solar, to your point.
Yep.
Things I need and frankly want.
Correct. And we're always looking at better, more honest approaches for our annuity business. And we've got a great team there and we're looking to grow it. I think there's a great trajectory going forward.
Your rental strategy, relatively new. How's that going?
Yeah, we should have started that many years ago, as my ex-co say, but we didn't. We're going for it. We've got four projects which are starting at the moment. Our goal is to get up to 7,000 rental apartments. And our chairman, Hilton Saven, gave me some invaluable advice on the GP and the net profit. And we've stuck to that bloody good advice. And we're achieving the numbers that we like the numbers. We're getting there with the numbers. And our portfolio is very, very well received by the public.
A last question. You had 2,000 units in the past year. What is your sort of operational feasibility at current levels in terms of units a year that you could build for sale?
We could easily, on our build to sell, we can easily ramp it up for between 4,500 and 5,000
Oh, wow.
with our current infrastructure. So there's big headroom for our ability. But obviously, the macroeconomics and world economics,
Yeah.
we've got to watch it. We've got to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been the cornerstone of Bourne. You build to demand.
Correct.
You don't build and then hope. We'll leave it there. Steve
No.
Brooks, CEO, Baldwin, always appreciate the time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the STANLIB Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Andrew Coonan. He is a Redefine Properties CEO. We had results 6 months ending February. Revenue up 3.7, dividend up 6.9, and NAV up 4.3%. Andrew, appreciate the time. You're guiding for 6-7% full year DPS growth, and much of that seems to be Poland. SA is growing, but the real growth is coming out of Poland at this point.
Simon, yes, we're very pleased with our Polish operations performance. This past period, they really have increased their contribution to the overall distributable income to Redefine's bottom line. Last year, contributing around 22.5% and growing it this year to 28.3%, which we're very, very happy with.
That was my next question. I mean, it's chunky. It's, as you said, just over 23. You've also simplified some of the structure. You've got rid of some of the non-core assets. What does the Polish portfolio look like for you out in time? Is it where you like it? Is there still some tweaks and changes?
Simon, with all good portfolios, there'll always be a little bit of asset management here and there. For us, we're very happy with our core portfolio. These are properties that are dominant in their respective nodes, doing very well with an average occupancy of 98.2%, which is virtually full. In terms of our joint ventures, yes, we are doing a lot of work there to simplify the structures and to reduce complexity. That's to reduce our see-through loan to value, but also to ensure we have durable income assets going forward. Those are assets that are going to give us constant growth, both from an income and a capital perspective. Our logistics platform has increased its occupancy levels to around 98.7%, which we're very, very happy with. And that is also assisting us in delivering, as I said, a far greater contribution from our Polish investments, but that's all on the back of, you know, very stable economic fundamentals at play in that country.
Yeah, I chip in. And my next question is going to be about that 98.2. I was going to ask you, is that pretty much full occupancy? And you kind of answered it. I mean, there's always going to be a bit of churn. You're never going to get 100.
Correct. You'll never, in a perfect world, you'll never achieve 100% unless you have a single-tenanted shopping center.
Gotcha. Office is improving. Reversions are still negative, but moving in the right direction. I mean, it is still a painful space. I mean, are you still comfortable with the assets that you've got on the office book?
Yes, look, you know, Simon, about 96% of our portfolio is either premium or A-grade, and there has been a definite flight to quality, which is, you know, driving some of that demand. Mm-hmm. And we're quite pleased with our overall occupancy levels. You know, in our premium grade, we're sitting at an occupancy level of around 95%. And in the A grade, we're at 88%. So if you have a look at it compared to Sabowa, we're actually looking a little bit better than the market.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you know, when you have a big single user that has been in the offices for, let's say, 5 to 10 years, escalating at, say, 7 to 8%, you are going to be above market when you expire from mm-hmm, a rental mm-hmm. point of view. And that will, unfortunately, come through as a negative reversion, as we've seen in this past period with a minus 15.8% for the period, although it is less negative than this time last year.
I get you. Absolutely. Improved in last year. And to your point, after a couple of years, these are leases that are multi-year, and we get into the tail end of that. Your balance sheet mines milestone. First SA REIT to price a three-year bond under 100 basis point spread. Talk to me what that practically means and what it means for how the market is looking at Redefine credit risk.
So our credit rating is very stable. Our credit metrics are looking very solid. And I think, you know, the real credit metric to watch in this environment is your interest cover ratio, which in our case has improved from 2.2 times to 2.3 times. So there is a lot of liquidity in the market, Simon, and we are beneficiaries through our bond program to access mm-hmm. that bucket of capital, which, as you can see, is very keenly priced on the back of effectively demand and supply.
Gotcha. Technology, you've set a medium-term target of around 80% net operating profit margin. You're currently at just over 77%. You're citing AI and digital as key drivers. What's some of the examples of how AI is actually able to help your margin today?
So for us, it's more about the experience that, for example, our tenants have mm-hmm. with interacting with Redefine. It's how we interact with all of our stakeholders, Simon, from investors through to shoppers, through to brokers, and ultimately tenants as well. So we are not generating profit margin through AI.
Mm-hmm.
We are generating profit margin through better data-driven decisions. We are really driving that off our energy renewal program mm-hmm. from solar. We're around 24% of our overall portfolio is either through own solar or wheeling from third-party providers, that is giving us that benefit to our profit margins.
Wow, 20, that's a big number. It's bigger than I would have thought. A last question. Obviously, this is to end of February, immediately thereafter the Iranian war started. Not a direct impact on you, but potentially your customers. Are you? I mean, we're only 2 months in, 2 months in a bit. Are you seeing any impact as yet or not?
Simon, I think it's a little bit too early to really anecdotally share with you what's happening on the ground. Because as you know, although we're seeing, you know, the pump prices, et cetera, increasing, it's going to take a while to filter through into the inflation and even impacts on consumers. I think it's a bit of a trend that we need to watch very carefully. So too early to tell. But for now, the momentum that we've got in the first half is continuing into the second, which is trumping that cyclical impact.
Cool. And I'll take your point. Property decisions are big decisions. They're going to take some time for that to start to filter through. We'll leave it there. Andrew Coonan, Redefine Properties CEO. Appreciate the time. And that's it for today. Yesterday we were chatting with Sean Kelly from Parity Wealth, talking about healthcare, talking about biotech and innovation happening. We asked if this was a sector that you are interested in. Over half of you said yes, but cautiously so. The rest said no, not for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabuchle, Nicole, Siren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Octodec results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.